There's power in our words. The key verse for this series that we're talking about, get it together, is the verse in Matthew 6:33 where it says, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you as well. In other words, putting God first, filtering everything through, does this honor God? Even in our words, seeking God first. But did you know that it is incredibly hard for us to control our words, to control our tongue? How many of you know that it's hard to control what flies out of our mouth? Sometimes it's out of sheer zeal and excitement. And this week I took Madison to get her driver's permit. And when we get back in the car, she's quiet and she's solemn. And she sits in the car and all of a sudden she goes, "Woo! I've got my permit! Woo!" Sheer zeal. And I was so happy and I slapped her five and it was really cool. So sometimes it's hard to control our words out of sheer zeal and excitement. Sometimes it's hard to control our words out of frustration and out of anger. It is hard to control our tongue, but our words are incredibly powerful. In fact, I want us to talk about what God has to say about our words. And so if you would, look with me in your Bibles in James chapter 3. In fact, you can look on your iPads and on your phones, on your sheets, on the screen, or in your Bible itself. But I encourage you to have some sort of media in front of you because it helps you to learn to process through the Word and be in the Word. So whether it's your iPads or your phones or your Bible, I encourage you to have that each week. But in James chapter 3, it says this: not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. It's very interesting. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. We put small bits into the mouths of large horses to make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. How many of you ever have trouble with what you say and it just comes out and you're like, oh, shoot. Anybody? Yeah, it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. It corrupts the whole person. It sets his whole course of his life on fire. Verse 8 says, but no man can control the tongue. It is a restless evil. It goes on, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. This is a great passage for us. This tells us that you can put a small bit into a powerful horse mouth, and you can control the whole animal with this small bit. That the great fire is started by just a small spark. And that a ship, a giant ship, is controlled by a relatively small rudder. And so really what the Bible is telling us is that our words have great power in them. Our words have incredible force behind them. The Bible is saying this, if you're taking notes, that the tongue has the power to direct our lives. The tongue has the power to direct our lives. That words They direct the course of our lives. And have you ever noticed that words that you've spoken that have been spoken to you or about you or over you impact your life and they carry weight? Not only do you remember those words, but they affect the choices that you often make. There's a study that they did where they put broke kids up into teams and they gave them the same project to do. They were in separate rooms, not knowing the outcome of the other students in the other rooms, the exact same projects, and they timed them. And the students who did the slowest, the group that did the slowest, they would say, great job. You guys did so well. Man, that was amazing. Let's do another project and see how you do. And they noticed that every time they got faster and faster, even on different projects, that the slowest teams got faster and faster and faster. But the teams that did the best and the teams that were the fastest, they'd go, you struggled a little bit. Maybe we need to try another one and see if you can do better. And they noticed that the groups that were the fastest, that maybe had the smartest children in there, that they went slower and slower and slower, and that they had more trouble getting along, and they had more trouble doing the next project, and they had more trouble doing the third project because of the words spoken over them. And though the words that were spoken weren't even true, it impacted the course of the study and the course of their life in that moment. There is power in our words. The words spoken to us, hearing words, can cause us to make certain choices in life that determine the process and the destiny of our life. Again, it says this about ships. It says this, that they are so large and they're driven by strong winds, and yet they're still steered by a small, in fact, the Bible says a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants it to go. And it says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes huge boasts. But listen to this, our thoughts in our mind become our attitudes of our heart, become the words of our mouth, and become the actions that we live out. So the words that we speak ultimately become actions in our life. And this verse is saying this, the verse is saying that though our words sometimes seem so insignificant, they seem so small, the words that we speak sometimes just seem like air coming out. But they are constantly shaping lives, and they are incredibly powerful. Our words are so incredibly powerful, and they're constantly setting direction again. And so if words are setting the direction for our lives, then where are we going? So the question I want to ask, in fact, it's on your sheets, and maybe you can fill it in underneath, is this, is where are your words taking you? Are our words taking us down a path of hope, and down a path of joy, and down a path of patience, and down a path of contentment? Are our words taking us down a path of frustration, and a path of impatience, and a path of discontent? I grew up near the coast in Beaumont, near Beaumont, Texas. And then when we'd go to the little city park that was by the high school in Port Neches, that you had the waterway, that all the tankers went, or many tankers went. And so when you went to this park there in Port Neches, that they had an area that would dry dock boats. It wasn't owned, it was owned by a company, and they would dry dock these large oil tankers. And it was incredible. Do you know how big those things are? The one that everyone would know about is the Exxon Valdez, the one that wrecked in Alaska years ago. That oil tanker would displace, listen to this, 214,000 metric tons of water. Almost a quarter of a million metric tons of water. And yet, when they were in the dry dock and you could see the giant ship, the rudder was small. And it's the same way with our lives, is that we speak words that will direct the course of our life. With just small tongue, a small part of the body, it directs the course of our life. And so my challenge to us as Grace Hill is to be a people who speak words of hope, who speak words of life, who speak words of encouragement, who speak words of joy, who speak words of contentment, who speak words of hope to our family and to our friends and to our coworkers and to our spouses and to our neighbors, that we speak words of hope. Now, here's the thing, is I'm not talking about when situations come along and difficult times come along, I'm not talking about living in denial that there's tough situations there. But with our words, we cannot perpetuate the pessimistic mentality that is around us. Instead, we have to perpetuate the thoughts of hope and of life and of joy that come through the life of the Holy Spirit that resides inside of us when we come to Christ. Words have the power to direct our lives. But words also, if you're taking notes today, words also have the power to destroy. They have the power to destroy. Have you ever had words spoken over you or to you or about you that were hurtful? Maybe we were guilty of speaking those words ourselves to someone else. But they have the power to destroy. Mean words sting. Hurtful words tear down self-confidence. Harsh words destroy relationships. That there is power in our words. And for me, personally speaking, I want to get it together in my words. I want to have it together in my words. I want to get this area lined up in line with God because I have the ability to destroy. Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Life and death. In our key text we talked about in James, again, it says that it's like a forest fire. And that this one small spark can ignite an entire forest fire that we have trouble even controlling. Because this one small spark lights everything ablaze. It's powerful. And so for us, where are we in the process of our words? My sister and I used to argue. How many of you have a spouse? I mean, a spouse. Freudian slip there. A sibling. I meant sibling that you argue with. Anybody have a sibling that you argue with growing up? Absolutely. So my sister was 4 years older than me, and we used to argue and argue and argue, and one day my mom sat us both down, and she made us memorize this scripture that I've never forgotten to this day. And in Proverbs 15:1, it says this, that a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. In fact, I want to read that again. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The truth is, our words have the power to destroy or to diffuse, the power to kill or to calm, the power to hurt or the power to heal. And in Proverbs 16:24, it says this, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And I don't know about you, I don't know about you, Tammy. I don't know about you, Bailey. I don't know about you, Khalil. But I know that for me, I know that for me, there are times that I have to go to the Lord. I have to go to God. And I say, God, help me in my words to not destroy. God, help me in my words to not deride. Help me in my words to not hurt. Help me in my words to not belittle. Help me in my words to not discourage. Help me in my words to not do these things. But the thing is, I don't want to be known in life for what I don't do, but instead for what I do. And so in the same breath of saying, Lord, help me not to deride with my words or discourage with my words, but Lord, help me to heal with my words. Help me to help with my words. Help me to teach with my words. Help me to direct with my words. Help me to encourage with my words. That is not just what we don't do, but what we do with our words. Because you know what? That sometimes we forget to say the good things, right? Did you know that when you have a bad customer service experience, studies say that you tell 14 people you had a bad experience with customer service? So you have a bad experience at the store, surveys say that you're going to tell 14 people, this store, they're terrible. But the same survey says that if you have a great experience and your issue is resolved and you walk away feeling good, you tell one person. Studies show that's what you do about the store. And so for me is that we sometimes forget to say the good things, but we never forget to say the bad things. And so we have to say, Lord, help me not to say this, but instead to talk with words of hope, to say the good things. Another thing that's really interesting about words, if you're taking notes today, is the Bible teaches us that our words have the power to display what's inside of our hearts. Words have the power to display what we're really thinking. How many of you know that sometimes you say something and you didn't mean to say it, but it's what you really meant, and then all of a sudden you're going, oh no, did I really say that? It has the power to display what's inside and what we're really thinking. And many times, unfortunately, I have a friend that he's gotten into target shooting with handguns, and he had bought a gun and his wife knew about it, and he goes to the range and he shoots and he goes and locks it up at the house and goes shoots at the range and locks it up at the house, and he bought a second gun, but he didn't tell his wife. And so he was thinking, I can't let her know, I can't let her know. So it's on the inside, he's chewing over it, I can't let her know, I can't let her know. So they went to the store to get something, and she says, hey, you're going to the range tomorrow with your friend, do you need to get another box of ammo? And he said, well, I don't need this ammo because for the other gun, I need this type of ammo. And she goes, the other gun. It revealed what was inside. He was thinking, don't tell her, blah. But oftentimes the things that we say are far more weighty than the release or the discovery of a purchase that we've made. that we think things and we say things, and it has the power to display what's inside of our life. And here's what Luke 6:45 says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." What's inside comes out, ultimately intake, outtake, it displays our heart. And listen, guys, that's why our devotional life, like we talked about last week, getting it together in our devotional life is so important, because you have different input through your eyes and through your ears, and you have different input, then different output comes out because of the transformational power of God. What you're putting in comes out. That's why it's so important, because you get your devotional priority right, it changes our words, ultimately. That's why it's so important for our lives. It changes our words. And James says something really important about the kind of words we speak. It says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. It should not be." Paul said this in Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful or good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Paul understood the power of our words. And what he said here is something really powerful. He goes on and he says in Colossians 3, and I want to challenge you to go home and read Colossians 3. It's a great context here on the power of words. But here's what he says. "But now," he's saying now, and if you read it in context, he's saying, "now that you've become a believer, now that you've received Christ into your life, Rex, now that he has come and he resides inside, you've stepped away from the past." You read the context, you stepped away from the past, you've embraced Christ, you've become a believer. He's saying, "But now, here's what happens." He says, "You must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth." And so I want to teach on this, but I want to teach on our words with grace and not with judgment. So as I go through this, understand that about a month ago, me and Tamara and our new children's pastors, Alan and Michelle and Vinny and Jennifer, were sitting down writing this message about a month ago. And so we were saying, what do we need to say? What would the Lord have us to say? And so I want to teach this with a lot of grace, because this is written, the way this goes through is written as a context of spiritual maturity. If you read Colossians 3, it's written almost as a progression of a sign of a spiritual maturity. So let's go through and read this together. That I want us, it says, praises and curses, don't do it out of the same mouth. Colossians says, stop obscene, or another version says, filthy talk, in the context of spiritual maturity. So let's read together. In verse number 1, it talks about this. It says, "Now you've been saved, and now you've come to Christ. Set your mind on spiritual things, not earthly things." It goes on in verse 5, and it says, "Put to death therefore." Therefore means what I just said. Now that you've become a believer, put to death these things, anything that belongs to your earthly nature. He's saying, you were in sexual immorality, you were in impurity, you were in lust, you were in evil desires, you were in greed, which becomes idolatry. He's saying that. He says in verse 8, you used to walk in those things. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. He says, you used to walk in these things, how you used to live. Goes on verse 8, it says, now get rid of all such things. And then it says, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. I want you to see a progression. He's saying the other things were done with your body, and now he's saying the things done with your lips. So slander is done with your lips. Malice is done with your lips. Gossip is done with your lips. Filthy language done with your lips. He's saying those were part of the past. Now you're not in immorality. And now here's kind of the next step of evidence of God living in spiritual maturity here, okay? So he goes on and he says, in the same thing of saying don't slander or malice or language, he goes on and says, don't lie. It's all together. You used to lie because there was no moral standard. Now with God's standard, you don't lie anymore. And it goes on and it says, since you have taken off the old self and you've put on the new self, being renewed in the image, in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. So in other words, you've become a believer. You've been transformed. It goes on, it says, therefore, because of all that, because you've been transformed, because you used to be, now you are, it says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And the rest of it goes on and tells us how to live in unity with one another. It encourages us to be encouraging to one another and how to grow as a part of this body of believers. Does that make sense? And so it goes on and it says that part of growing is transformational because God comes in and different input is different output, because also, so it's transformational but it's also informational in the sense of we understand what God desires for us and we make that cognizant change. There's power in our words. And so I've asked Tamara to come and to talk about part of her transformation with her own words in her own life as she grew with the Lord.
Well, I know many of you will find this super shocking, but I haven't always been the really nice person that you know today.
But you're so soft nature, babe.
I know. I'm so soft-spoken and loving and encouraging all the time. But as I first became a believer, I was definitely a harsh, rude talker. I mean, straightforward, probably didn't exactly completely convey what I was like. And so as I began growing in my relationship with Christ, someone who was discipling me kind of pulled me aside and was like, okay, we need to talk about your mouth. And he went on to tell me, you know, how I talked rude and crude and this and that. And I was like, you're crazy. You don't even know what you're talking about. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. There's no way I'm like that. I mean, you can imagine the rest of the conversation. So I went home and contemplated what he said. And you know what? The truth of the matter was I kind of took pride in my silver tongue. I loved to be witty and funny and cutting. And I did it a lot. And I did it at the expense of a lot of other people. And as I thought about that, was that really the person I wanted to be? And as I grew in the Lord, I spent a lot of time reading the Word of God. And you know, in James it says, when you read the Word of God, it's kind of like a mirror. And I began to see in my own life, two scripture verses really, really stood out to me, and I want to share them with you. And that was Philippians 4:5. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I don't even think I would have to go on, because that when you thought of me, gentle was not what you were thinking of at all. And I mean, I thought I was doing people a favor. Like, right? You need to just tell them how it is, right? Okay. Proverbs 21:19 said this, it is better to live on the corner of the house than with a quarrelsome woman. I mean, I thought it was kind of fun to be quarrelsome. You know, like you get into arguing with each other, who can say the coolest thing, who can cut you like a knife. And so that was very much who I was. So I just really decided to take inventory. How much am I like that? Like maybe I'm not like that a whole lot, just occasionally. So I decided to write down every time I said something rude or crude or cutting or whatever. And I told some of my friends what I was doing. Some loved Jesus, some didn't. Man. The day I started doing that, in just a few hours, I was like, okay, I've written down like 50 things. This is not a good sign. And so I just began to say, Lord, okay, that's not what I want people to see in me. I want them to see your love, your compassion, and your grace. Later, a few years back, I heard Joel Osteen say this, if you're right, but you're rude, then you're wrong. Leave it to Sweetie Pie Joel to tell us something like that. He is. He's so nice all the time. I'm sure he never says anything rude.
As a guy that I want to be called a sweetie pie or a sweet guy, right?
He might like that.
I doubt it. If he has one thread of manhood, Sweetie Pie is not really...
So what I'm talking about here is not necessarily like... Thank you. It's not really, I'm not talking about sugarcoating things or lying about things.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not talking about that. It's really about wisdom. And so I kind of have a few things that I try to think through before something comes out of my mouth. First of all, does it even need to be said? I mean, just because it's true doesn't mean I have to put it out there and tell you. So does it even need to be said? Secondly, can I say it differently? Maybe it does need to be said, but there might be a better way to say it, kind of like our video we watched. And then also, is this the time to say it? Like, sometimes you do need to say some things. Maybe even to your children, you need to speak directly. But is right now in front of everybody the time to say that? And then fourthly, what does God really think about this? What would he be saying? When Mally was a little girl, and so obviously we'd been in the ministry about 12 years, when she turned two, she was so bad. Like, I mean, there's just no way around it. She was just really, really bad.
Let me put it in context. If Mally would have been first, Mally would have been last.
I know, people.
No more.
People say that all the time, and I think, you don't know what you're talking about. Because the first two, you know, were really, really good. And, I mean, she would just talk back. She was defiant. I mean, she was so unbelievably strong-willed. And I thought, I'm strong-willed. How is she breaking me? She's breaking me. I'm losing my mind. This 2-year-old, she's not winning.
I'd come home from the office, and Tamara would be in the corner in a fetal position, sucking her thumb.
Not quite. One Sunday morning, I couldn't get her to put her clothes on. Like, it's not like, Mommy, I want to wear this instead of what you picked out. Like, she wouldn't put anything on. So, you know, we sat in the chair, blah, blah, blah. I spanked her. I spanked her a lot, a bunch of different times. And so Michael comes home. I mean, finally she has on clothes, but they're not on very well. And he looks at her, and she has bruises, like, all up and down right here. And he's like, you can't take her to the nursery. You cannot take her to the church nursery like that. And I was like, you want to make a bet? They can call CPS if they want to, because I want to see what they can do with her. And so anyway...
We're not recording this, right? Edit that part out, right? Right there.
So as this progressed, I want you to know, I didn't just complain to 14 people like the consumer did. I complained to whoever would listen. I mean, I was like, she's so strong-willed, it's horrible, la la la. And so one day I was just kind of praying about the matter. And I felt the Lord just impress on me, you wanted a strong-willed child. Why are you complaining about this? Watch what you're saying over your child. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, was what I was saying true? Yeah. Was it hard? Yeah. But that day, I made the decision to talk about it differently. And so every time she started giving me a hard time, I was like, thank you, God. She's so strong-willed. She will never be a pushover. She'll never end up in a place that she didn't decide to be there. I started praying, God, make her be somebody who loves you so much that her choices will surround around you, because no one will ever be able to change her mind. I remember one day the youth pastor was kind of ragging on me a little bit about how a tough time she was giving me. And I said, you know what? Mally will never get in the back seat with some nasty boy unless she really, really decides she's going to do it. And that is awesome, you know? And so I just started speaking positive things. Like, you want your child to be strong-willed. You really do, because then nobody else is going to push them into something that they don't really want to do. And so I just started being thankful for that. And I have to tell you, it wasn't very long after that, like a month or two, she really started turning around. And I don't know, you know, it was my attitude, her attitude, everybody's attitude towards what was going on changed because my words became positive over what was going on. So I'm not trying to say this morning that you can't speak the truth or, you know, anything like that. But just decide how you're going to say it. If I could just say the few things again, you know, does it really need to be said? Can it be said differently? Is this the time to say it? And what is his perspective on this situation?
Awesome. Awesome. Our words have the power to display. And is it inside? What's inside? Is it pessimism? Is it frustration? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Or is it life and hope and joy and peace and patience and kindness and encouragement and hope? And what is inside? It has the power to display. Our words do. And then last but not least, if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down, because we see in the Bible that our words have the power to delight. that when we worship God, that delights him. When we worship the Lord, it just is sweet to him. And then today, words spoken with encouragement and love can uplift anyone. Words spoken with love and encouragement can make your day instead of break your day. Words spoken with love and encouragement can shift momentum of the day, of the season, of the year. Words spoken with encouragement can change everything in a relationship, in a family, in a home, in a workplace. It can change everything. Words spoken with hope and encouragement, because it has the power to delight. And if you're looking on your notes today, Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 15 says, there is joy in giving an apt reply. How timely is a good word. Good words bring delight to those who hear them. So today, what could you say today? What could you say this week? We're going to worship here in just a minute, and we're going to give you time to go through a little reflection and a little homework in class, so to speak. Because I want you to think about it. What could I say today? What could I say this week to my spouse? Thank you so much for dinner. This was really good. What could I say to my child? I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. What could I say to my teacher? Hey, thank you for your effort. I appreciate the effort you put into this. What could you say to your coworker that would benefit? What could you say that would help bring life? What could you say to you fill in the blank, and what could you say to them today or this week?